And it calls you to responsibility to one another. And being a part of a church means that you've got a family here. And they're sometimes not very special. Sometimes we look at being a part of the covenant community of God, the church, as ordinary. And Israel struggled with this very same thing. They were called out of Egypt. They were brought into the wilderness, yet they were wandering about. What's so special about being a part of God's community when you're wandering about in the wilderness? And this wasn't only happening while they were in the wilderness, but throughout the history. Sometimes they had a fear of missing out what their neighbors had. Thinking about those idols and the wonderful worship that they offered that appealed so much more to the senses than their worship. It even promoted rampant sensuality. Their men and their women became more alluring to the Israelite community. And those people were far less narrow-minded. They got to do what was right in their own eyes. Now, that is a special community. That is exciting, right? Well, beloved people of God, I hope that as we look here, we will see what Moses was seeking to give to the Israelite community. An understanding of how they were special. That they would rejoice and laugh and enjoy the fact that they were brought into being by God's miraculous power. Here we have that culmination, that climactic point in Abraham and Sarah's life, to the point that they are overjoyed with laughter, that they rejoice and give thanks in the goodness of God. Yet, we also see a different response, one of scorn and mockery. And so as we look at this passage, we want to look at, first of all, that child of promise being born. And second of all, we're going to look at the responses to that child of promise. In verses 1 through 7, we come to that point in which the tension that has been building ever since chapter 11, verse 30, has come to a conclusion. At that point, we heard that Sarai had borne Abram no children. She was barren. And that phrase, that theme, keeps hitting again and again and again. And even Abraham and Sarah, as they begin to question whether it's actually this child is going to come through Sarah, try to solve it in their own worth, in their own wisdom, and in their own ways. Hence, we have Ishmael through Hagar. And last week, we saw that Abraham prayed to God and prayed for this Philistine community, the king of Gerar and his kingdom. And God opened their wombs. God allowed them to have children. And so we see that God has got the power. He is able to do what He has promised. And now we have that promised child. Now what has been held on by faith becomes sight. This child is born. And so it begins by saying that the Lord took note of Sarah, and He said, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had promised. And I think that "took note" is a bit weak. When we think about this, this is more of God coming down, visiting, doing what He has promised. Just as He had visited earlier to give them the promise, now He visits Sarah and blesses her with what he has promised for quite some time. When God moves, God accomplishes. For he is able, as he is God Almighty, as he revealed himself to be. And he is abounding in loving kindness. And notice the repetition here. Notice how the scriptures emphasize that he visited Sarah just as he had said. The Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore him to a son to Abraham at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. There is constant repetition here. And so one commentator says, there is great emphasis in the repetition, for he retains his readers as by laying his hand upon them, that they may pause in consideration of such a great miracle. In other words, God is saying through Moses, sit up! Take notice! Look at this! Look at what God has done. He has done what he has promised right here in the same place at the right time, just as he has promised. And we can also note that Abraham here takes up those obligations of the covenant promises. For he not only God shows himself to be faithful, but Abraham also responds in faith by doing just as God commanded him, naming the boy Isaac and circumcising him on the eighth day. And then, just for good measure, we are reminded just exactly when God has finally chosen to accomplish these things. When Abraham is 100 years old. This family line was dead, but now God has given them an heir. His promise to make Abraham's name great and to make him a father of many nations is coming true. And this is nothing short of a miracle. This is nothing short of a miraculous act of God calling into existence this child. Listen to how Paul speaks about this in Romans 4, verse 16 and following. For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you, in the presence of him who believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body as good as dead, since it was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And so think about how this might be an encouragement to those Israelites wandering around in the desert who have nothing but, as they started to say, but this manna to eat every day. As they went through routines and everything that God had called them to do. And here, as they may question what's so special about being a nomad in a desert wilderness, God shows them. God shows them. they exist only because of His miraculous power. They exist only because He was faithful to His promises to an elderly couple who were as good as dead. He has made Abraham a father of many nations. And so they're a product of life. Life coming from that which was reckoned dead. Yet, people of God, when we too wonder what's so special about being a part of the church, the covenant community, you and I might not think about ourselves as ethnic Israelites, and we may not be. But God, in His miraculous power, shows us that He can bring life through death. He shows us that He can even bring life through a virgin, bringing about His Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is a God who calls into being that which does not exist by His very word and miraculous power. And so, beloved people of God, you are a part of this miraculous community. This miraculous community exists only because of that miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, that one who suffered and died so that we might receive the Holy Spirit. And even though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, He makes us alive together with Him by the power of the resurrection. He causes us to be born again without having to enter into our mother's womb once again, but brings new life by the water and the Spirit. So what's so amazing about being a part of the church? It's that God has given us miraculous life, the resurrection of the dead in Christ Jesus. He has made us inheritors of the promises given to Abraham to be our God, and we would be His people. That we are a people of His own possession, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, as Peter describes us. And so in many ways it was quite wonderful to observe both a baptism and a profession of faith here this morning. As we saw those covenant signs and seals given to George, that he was brought up here as a little baby who could not have any choice in the matter. Yet he was given those signs and those seals, the promises of the covenant, and made a part of this covenant community. And we also had one confirm by faith those wonderful signs and seals in her life. One who proclaims that she believes those promises given to her in her baptism. And so this brings us to our second point. What ought our response be? Now, obviously, there is a lot that I could go into here with Hagar and Ishmael, but obviously, due to time constraints and our mental capabilities of being able to pay attention for a certain amount of time, I will restrain myself to just looking at the responses that Ishmael and Sarah and Abraham give. Because what ought our responses be? Think about how God has called them to name this child Isaac, which means laughter. And in some ways, it would point back to the doubt that they had as both Abraham and Sarah laughed when God told them that He would bring about a child through Sarah. that they both laughed in doubt. And now this child, laughter is here. And what is Sarah's response now? God has made laughter for me. God has made laughter for me. He has made me joyful, you might say. And everyone who hears will laugh with me, will rejoice and glorify with me, God, the wonderful news that we have been given a child. For who would have said that I could nurse a child in my old age? Who would have thought? People will rejoice with me, for he has turned my grief into laughter. He has turned my laughter of doubt into joy and happiness. He has made a laughter for me. God has done this great thing. And if we comprehend what we are in this covenant community, something brought about by God's miraculous existence or miraculous work, then we too can say, God has made a laughter for me. That we can rejoice and respond in joy. And we can see the miraculous work that He has done in our life by giving us life by His very word. In His Spirit. Yet, people of God, there is also a second response. The response of Ishmael. And again, cleverly, the author, Moses, uses the exact same root word. That you might say in verse 9, now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking or laughing. He was laughing at laughter. Laughing at Isaac, that promised child, in mockery and derision. And this brings down the wrath of Sarah upon Hagar and her son, calling Abraham to drive out the maid and her son, for he will not be an heir with her son. And on the one hand, to me, it's striking and it's almost hurtful. Why in the world would God even agree to do this? This seems more like vengeance than something good. But I think when we see how Paul picks up on that quote from Sarah as a call to the Galatian church to maintain their righteousness by faith and not through the obedience of the law, we can see that Christ is teaching the church something here. That we are declared righteous just like Abraham by faith, not through the obedience of the law. Because as Hagar's son, Ishmael, was cast out because she was a bondwoman, and they were a part of that slavery versus freedom, as Paul contrasts in chapter 4. And so those who sought the promise through the law, through servanthood, not through faith, would not have the glory of God and the fellowship with God. So he, this bondwoman's son, mocked the promised child, mocked the one through whom Jesus Christ would come, whom we find our righteousness. And so by rejecting Isaac and thereby Jesus Christ and the promises given through God, he sought his righteousness through slavery to the law. See, sons of Abraham are not found righteous and children of God through their own works, but through the Son, Jesus Christ, who died for them. And so let me close with these words from John. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The covenant community of the church exists only because of the wonderful, gracious will of God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God and Father, we give thanks that you did bring into being Isaac, who would be that father even to your Son, Jesus Christ, who would be one of those ancestors. For you had chosen that line, you had elected that line, and you have brought about life, that we might live. And so, Lord, we give thanks for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And may we only find our righteousness, our eternal life, by believing in Jesus Christ, that Lord and Savior. May we look to him for that life. We thank you for all that you have done, and we rejoice with gladness. Amen.